wonderful for me as I study and prepare. My joy is just pelling up all the time. So I'm really happy to be able to study this book with you. The beginning of chapter 3 said that our calling is not earthly but heavenly. Heaven is our destination, where our hope is anchor and our high priest is stationed. Heaven is our eternal rest. Last 2 weeks, we learned that hope and faith are twin sisters. When we receive faith, we also got hope. We need to hold on to hope and faith to enter God's rest. But we are weakened by sin, so we need the Holy Spirit. Even with the Holy Spirit guiding us, we sometimes are so deep in the deceptions of sin that we couldn't hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, like David when he fell in love with Bathsheba. He needs Nathan to come and rescue him. But we can help one another only if we have trust. If we don't trust anyone, no one can help us. If I don't trust you, that you are telling me God's words, I never repent. And likewise, if you don't trust me, my preaching here doesn't matter how long I be with you, don't be helpful for you at all. So today we want to continue the topic of entering God's rest. The invitation to go into our heavenly rest remains open. So let's make every effort to enter the rest. How is that done in a spiritual term? That is the question. The answer is that sanctification by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. Today, we will talk about sanctification by the Holy Spirit, and next week, we'll talk about sanctification by the Word. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 to 11. It's longer than usual, but there's some good things in here that we need to grasp. The author kind of write in a way that is difficult to understand, but I will try to explain it to you later. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combined it with faith. Now we who are believe enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creations of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day, God rests from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their examples of disobedience. Let's pray. Father, as we read your words, there's issues in understanding your word, because we are human, and there's something about humanity and the sin's nature that binds us in slavery. We cannot understand it. So please be with us and guide us, even through my spoken words, but most importantly, through your whispering words into our hearts. Lead us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sanctification. This is an odd text to talk about sanctification, but I think you will appreciate how it comes together in the way that I come to understand it. This text that we just read, the author combined the Sabbath rest, which is the law that God has given to Moses for the Jews to rest on the seventh day, and God's rest in Genesis chapter 2. He combined them as one, and then given to us as a blessing. How do those things come together? I would try to explain to you. And when we understand that, then we come closer to God. Our hearts are drawn to God. Part of the sanctification process is really that, to draw us closer to Him by receiving the holiness that God pour from Himself to us. Okay, we are drawn closer to God by His pouring out of His holiness to us. You and I are sinful. There's no holiness in you and in me, in our sinful nature, until God pour His holiness into us by washing us of our sin. But this process of talking about the Sabbath as a blessing from God to us will give you an aha moment, I hope, as it has given me that aha moment some time ago. Genesis chapter 1 talked about the creations of all things. And then on chapter 2, we read these words. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. What's that all about? When God made something holy, He made it for Himself. Just as God told Moses to make sacrifice. When you present an animal to God, the priest will examine the animal and pronounce the animal to be clean. And then the animal is offered to God. It's killed and sacrificed, given to God. Now, anything that is made and offered to God like that is considered consecrated and holy unto God. Not to man anymore. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God. God take it completely. That whole animal belonged to Him. The seventh day, God take it said, it's mine. You have no part of it. No human, no Adam, no Eve, no one has any part of it. It's mine. God said, it's mine. God consecrated, blessed, is belong to him. Throughout the history of mankind, from Adam and Eve all the way to the time of Exodus, man worked 7 days. Even believers like Abraham worked 7 days. Why? Because the rest belonged to God, not belong to man. So we read in Exodus 16, the Jews coming out of Egypt, they're walking, and they were so tired and no food. The food that they bagged on their backpack was done. The meat, the jerkies, they're all done. Nothing to eat. They're complaining. No water, no food. God, are we going to die here in the desert? So God showed up his glory. You were complaining, but then God showed up his glory. The first time in the history of mankind, the glory of God rise up. That's a blessing upon the people. Then God gave them manna for breakfast and bread throughout the day. In the evening, God gave them quails so they have meat to eat. And then God gave them water from the rock, from another text. But then the other thing in chapter 16 is that God said, now I'm going to give you the Sabbath. You work on 6 days, the 7 day, you share my rest. It is a gift. The Sabbath was a gift from God to man. Never happened before, but here it is. It's a blessing that God gave and said, you work all your life, you complained about not having rest, and so I give you rest. And God then, from that point on, continued to talk about, you guys will go into the land of Canaan, and you will rest, and Moses will lead you 40 years, and then Joshua and Caleb will take you into the land, and you will rest there. The text that we read here said that if the rest in Canaan was the actual rest that God talked about, then God would not have said to David later, okay, what happened there? Was that they go in there and they rest from war, but not really, because whenever they sin, the war come back. They work 6 days, they rest 7 days. But there's the rest that they experience, they're never satisfied. Just like you and I, we work for 6 days. Now the government said, and your employer said, you can work for 4 days or 5 days, and then you rest the weekend or whatever rest days you have. And you're never satisfied with that. And God added even to that more blessings. And okay. You work for 49 years, and the 50 years you will rest. The whole year I bless the whole nation. Every land will produce enough food for you, and you just rest, just pick it up and eat and enjoy. And even that rest was not satisfied, because it created a longing for more, because that rest was so good, right? But it's not enough. Never enough. So God then came to David and said, you know, you enjoyed the rest, but you're also longing for more. I tell you what, if you would obey my voice, then you will enter my rest. That is eternal rest. That's what God, through the Holy Spirit, taught the Israelites throughout. And when you know that it is a gift from God to you as you're living here on earth, and then God said, there's something greater and better, and I want you to enter it. That's so profound. And that is the aha moment that you should experience. Now, Jesus came and Jesus said, Jesus is doing miracles on Sundays, healing people, this and that. And so Jesus said on Mark chapter 2, verse 27, 28, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you want to enter that eternal rest, really, so that there's no illness, there's no disease, so there's no pain and suffering anymore, the eternal rest that you're really longing for, that you really desire for yourself, is through the Lord of the Sabbath, is through Jesus. So sanctification is like that. It draws you close to God by pouring the blessing, the holiness of God into your life. God actually giving something of himself to you. It is not something that you earn, but it is a gift. Sanctification is like that. And when God invites you to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, to obey the Holy Spirit, you get this mindset of, well, that means what I do is not good. And so I have to submit myself. And our mindset is when we submit ourselves, we become a little lower than who we are. We become lesser than who we are. And so that's the perception you have about you and I have about myself. And so we built a resistance to enter into sanctification. But what God really wants to teach us is that sanctification is nothing more than God pouring out his holiness into us and make us better than who we are today. Just like the rest. We never have the rest before. But now God give you the rest. And God give you the Sabbath. And you enjoy it. You enjoy your vacation. You enjoy your trip. You enjoy the walk up Yosemite's National Park. And you enjoy all those. And God said, those are gifts from me to you. They are pointing to the eternal rest. As much as you enjoy what you have here, what I'm giving you, it's abundance, multiplication of what you have received that you can never have enough of here on earth, but then you will have enough with me. Sanctification is more invitation for you to be closer to God, to be part of God so that he can continue to bless you in spiritual terms more and more. So now you can come to understand the second part of what this text is teaching us, and that is running into it. Running into it. Don't resist running into God's sanctification. For those of us who were born and raised in Laos, we came to appreciate American life. Life in America is way better than life over there in Laos. That's why I always want my children to go back there, at least to Thailand, and to experience the hardship that our people are living under over there, so that they come to appreciate the life that they have here. Sanctification is like that. The invitation for you to run through is to really get more and more of God into your life. What the author of this book said is that if you have faith, in verse 3, those of us who have already believed, we are on our way to that eternal rest. You are on your way, I'm on my way, holding on to that faith, holding on to that hope. You're on your way to that eternal rest. But then when we come to verse 11, he said, make every effort to go there. The word make every effort in the Greek is the word speeding up, using your strength, speeding up, like walking and running. Now, walking is slow, running is speeding up. This is talking about using all the abilities that God is giving you to go quickly, to go faster into it. But we understand that in physical term because it uses energy. So in spiritual term, what are the energies that God will give you that you can utilize to go faster? The two legs that will help you go faster, one is sanctification by the Holy Spirit. The other is sanctification by the Word, which we talked about next week. So here's sanctification by the Holy Spirit, and all of chapter 3 to chapter 4 here, all what you hear there is, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit. That's so important, not overdone. It's so important that we do that. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 said, not by human might or power, but by the Spirit of God. The walking with God is by the Spirit of God. If it is by human power, Jesus would not have said to the disciple, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from above. And Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. So to speed up with God requires to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey. Now, Jesus talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and Pastor Daniel have went through with you the role of the Holy Spirit there. I should not belabor on those issues. But two things that the author of Hebrew talked about here is that life with God, with the Holy Spirit, there's two stages. If you have your Bible, turn to chapter 5, verse 11, and we will read until chapter 6, verse 3. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn, or slow learners. Okay. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, they train themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, so not laying again the foundations of repentance from act that lead to death, and our faith in God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrections of the dead, and the eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. What the author here saying is that in chapter 3, these are the element things of faith. And these are level 1. But what God really wants you to do is to graduate from level 1 and go to level 2, where you will be teaching others. Now, the sanctification for us, and we got this resistance because we think, well, that means I have to memorize, I have to learn, I have to spend time, I have to finish TE level 1 and go to TE level 2 and maybe get some graduate classes and this and that. Whew, it's going to take a lot of time because as human, we think like that. It is your investment, it is your time and effort, and so you won't have time for anything else. So we can come back and said, oh, I don't have time for that. Because we think that this is our labor into it. What God is saying through what I said earlier, that it is God pouring himself to us, and what we are here is that to receive it. And if we open our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit is giving to us, then we are filled with the things of the Holy Spirit, and pretty soon our tank, our measure is full, and then it will spill over to others. But so we have to think, rethink, or change our way of thinking when it comes to sanctification. So don't be a slow learner. We need to be a fast learner. But being a fast learner is not depending on you. It depends on obeying the Holy Spirit. So, not to resist the Holy Spirit. There are two things in the Bible talking about that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The other is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Those are two texts that talked about we may be grieving the Holy Spirit and become a slow learner. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the author says some more about this, and he said, pursue peace with everyone and sanctification, because without sanctification, no man will see the Lord. What I'm thinking about in this is like this. Let's say Christopher need 10 areas of his life to be sanctified so that God can use him fully. And I so resisting, and I only allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify me in 5 areas. And my life ends. Will I be in heaven? I think that is a question that is so convicting. If the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify 10 areas of my life and I only allow him 5, and my life ends, I find myself like a servant who is not faithful. I find myself like a servant who received a gift from my boss and then I bury it. I feel like that. I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel. And so the author of Hebrews said, proceed faster, go quicker into the end, and don't resist the Holy Spirit. So let me apply this to our situation here by giving an example of my own life. You know, when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, we usually say, I don't have the time. Oh, my job does not allow me that flexibility. Oh, my children demand much of my time. Oh, my sick parents, excuse after excuse. We all do that. Those are slow tactics. You know that, right? Those are your resistant. I think the proper response that God would want us, or this text would want us to do is, I'm ready. Let's start now. Set the date and time, and I will clear my calendar and be there. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is inviting us to do, and said, remove all the slow tactics that you have in your life and just said, God, set the date and be there. I think that is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Two situations in my life that demonstrate these two areas of life that we have. Sometimes you can go very quickly with God and submit it right away and there's no problem. The other is, man, you drag and I drag. You struggle and I struggle. when I received the call in September 1995, as I was driving to Wisconsin, you heard about that. The Lord just said, "Christopher, Christopher." And I said, "Who are you?" The Lord said, "Because of your sins." And then he gave me all my sins, just like that. I could not use you. And so I break down and cry and confess my sin and give up myself to God. Because I don't want any of those sins in my life. You know, and I know that with sins we will never go to heaven. So you want God to wash away those sins. That's easy part. I do that right away. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you can do that right away too. Then come the hard part. About 3 months later, the call come and said, "Leave your practice and become a servant." Now that was a very hard struggle. Because I will lose my job. I lost my income, right? Lost my life as I know it. All my plan for my life, God said, let go. And that was so hard. It took me days and weeks, and I think it was like 3 months until I said to God, "God, you're pulling my legs. You're not pulling my hand. You don't make my life better. You actually made my life worse." And God said, "If I pull my son's leg, why don't I pull yours?" I get stuck there. I can't respond to that. And then the Holy Spirit whispered, "But Jesus was raised from the dead." And so that was my hope. I kept clinging on to that. Okay, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. So this thing that you want me to drop everything and go down and become poor, you have a way to deliver me from there. Okay, so I can trust you on that. I cannot add the numbers together. You know, at that time, 1995, our pastor don't get paid very well. Some are still on welfare and being a full-time pastor. Some are just a little bit above the welfare, and compare that to what I have, and I can never let go. But until God say that to you, and then I submit, okay? I submit and announce to my wife, "Hey, are we going to go?" And my wife said, "Well, God called you, but not me, okay?" So she has her own struggle with that for 6 months. Those are our delayed tactics, but they are very real in life. You will have, and I will have. What God wants you and me to do is to submit. And submit may be easy, submit may be hard, but still is submitting. And by submission, then God will pour out himself into us, and we become better than who we were. But at the moment that God asks for that transformation, that cleansing of yourself, making yourself holy to God so that God can use you, is also at the same time God pouring all of himself to you so that you receive all the blessings like the Sabbath that doesn't belong to us. And now we so enjoy it, you can't wait until Sunday or the weekend to enjoy it. It's just like that. Think about sanctification like that. It is like the Sabbath that I must go in, and I so enjoy. I can't wait. I start Monday and it is a drag. I can't wait until Friday because I want to go in. The author of the Hebrews want you to think about sanctification in that way, that I just want to get done with everything and be ready for the rest, and do that every day in your life. Drag yourself that you can't get enough of God. And if you have that mindset in you, then sanctification is easy. But if you have the mindset of human, then sanctification is hard. So let's move on with God. Obey the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we never understand sanctification in the way that you want us to. We see it as a drag on us, asking us to give up everything just for obedience. That's the human mindset. Would you please take that away from us now and restore in place your mindset that we are taught today? That no, it is actually pouring yourself into us, pouring your spirit into us, pouring Jesus into us, and more of Jesus, more of you, more of the Holy Spirit, more of righteousness, more of holiness, more of you every day. Help us to have this mindset, so that from here on, we will not resist you, but obey. Obey your spirit. Obey your word. Bring us back again next week so that we understand the other aspect of sanctification by the word. So we can go and walk quickly with you without resistance. We commit our life to you and this message into our hearts. Bless us as we leave this building and go on to live our lives with friends and families, co-workers, that we may be a light. Also put in our hearts a longing to be with you every day, every moment, and every week, just as we are longing for the rest of the weekend and the rest of heaven. Bring us back again. Thank you for the time for us to fellowship after this so that we can grow closer together and be part of one another's life in so many abundant ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, God bless you and keep you. We'll see you next week.